Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay, for those who are ready, I think you can get a... Then we can have our Dhamma sharing, okay? Okay. After our lunch, most of you, maybe like after food, normally you feel sleepy. But hopefully, with the Dhamma sharing, it will keep you awake. Oh, cannot. Then after that, everybody hungry, the food also cold. So for today, what do you want me to share on? You can propose some topic that you like. Anybody who has any particular topic that you would like to develop understanding, you can put up your hand. We pass you the mic. Anybody, whatever topic that you want to understand, maybe we give the honor to the host. Wow, may delegate to White Home. So we want to give the honor to the host. No, whatever topic you want me to speak on, I will speak. Sharing. No, for the Dhamma sharing, whatever topic that you want me to talk on. Any particular. Push it out. Push it out.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming.
We should give him some time to maybe talk to all the Kayamitas. Then after that, he will be given the honor to suggest the topic. Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you very much for coming, everyone. We're really very honored and very blessed to have everyone, especially Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo. And wow. And every one of you here. It's really our honor, and we really feel very happy to have every one of you, right? That's it. Okay.
This is the word of thanks, from his heart, sincerely. So you should say on behalf of my whole family, I'd like to thank all Kayanamitas for making time to be here with us, to partake in this wholesome. So you really would like to express your thanks and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. Then we can sadhu together. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And now we give you the honor to suggest a topic. May very fast delegate. Why ho, where are you?
Since today you're talking about the ancestor, right? Because I always have this understanding, we're always discussing that when we pass away, right? When we pass away, right? That's immediately we are reborn.
Okay.
All right. So if we reborn already, right? So how can we? Then how can we? You know, just say for example, if I die already, reborn. Then how can I still have affinity with, say, I know Sito, I know every one of you, I know Brother Teo.
Okay. Very good.
Then like ancestor, then.
So this is what you want to understand.
So this.
Then apart from that, anything else?
So that's why I got very confused.
I will explain to you. Don't worry. You can off the mic. Okay, thank you so much, for that very good question. Because I think this topic, very few people understand. You always hear of after you die already. You will become like a wandering ghost, or your consciousness will come out. Then you can see people, hear people, but they cannot see you, they cannot hear you. So there is a lot of conflicting scenario that people explain to you. There's some say, in fact, most Buddhists, they will think, rebirth already, where got anything? The rebirth means gone already. Some more stay around for one. So all this, how do one reconcile? Then you are from another religion. They will tell you, no, the Christian, we are Christian. Straight away, because we believe in God. We have already what they call baptized or accepted Jesus as the Son of God. Means you are already a Christian. So you will be with the kingdom of God. You will be with God. Means you will be born into eternal heaven and all those things. And you are non-believer, you go eternal hell. So how? Again, another version. Then if you is the Christian, the Christian we have dealt with. If it's the Hindu, then they believe in the Creator, Lord Krishna, the Creator God. Then they got Shiva and all this. So there's a lot of this various type of belief system or religious thinking that the world is been told. So as a Buddhist, how do we come to reconcile and understand all this? And this is something which a lot of Buddhists still cannot understand. So maybe today there is some condition. So I will explain a bit. What happened is, according to the Buddha, and he is not wrong, he said upon death, there is what they call the death consciousness. The mind state with its content of consciousness at its last moment before death occurs. So that last thought moment, or they call it the death consciousness, they call it chuti chitta. Chuti happened to be the Malay word C-U-T-I, go on leave. Chuti. So nowadays, Chinese also got this. They feel that it's not so nice to say somebody died. Yeah, oh, that person migrated to another line. Yi Ming Liao. Not migrated to another country, you know. Migrated to another line. Means, you know, they refer to that disease. So the death consciousness, according to the Buddha, depends on his content at that time. If you still have delusion, if you still is a puttajana, you are not enlightened yet, not awakened yet. So it will condition a rebirth consciousness. And this rebirth consciousness is immediate. Immediate. So when rebirth consciousness occur, it's just one moment of consciousness. It goes over. But that moment of consciousness is just that karmically conditioned. They call rebirth consciousness conditioned by karma. That's why the Buddha said, in the five daily contemplation, we have to constantly reflect. The first four refer to the first noble truth, reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death, refer to this body. Like this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. Then the fourth contemplation is whatever that we think we own, our loved ones, our possession, our wealth, all these are condition arising entity. When there is condition for it to arise, it will be like you own them. But when condition cease to be, you will lose them. So separation will happen. Separation from your loved ones, from your possession, from the thing you hold on to dearly, even your reputation, your wealth, your property, or whatever that you hold on to dearly, maybe your loved ones, your good friends, your parents, they will leave you sooner or later. It's either they leave you before you leave them, or when your breath stops, you will separate from them. Either way, you don't get to own anything. Even your this very body don't belong to you. When consciousness separate, means the breath stop, then this consciousness come out. They say you die. The moment you die, your identity is erased. Means you cannot continue to own anything because there is nobody left to own. So they say, if you don't have a will, then you have to go and apply for LA, Letter of Administration, to administer your whatever estate that you have to the Distribution Act of that country. If you are non-Muslim, they have a what they call Special Act if you're part of Commonwealth country. Then I think your wealth is distributed between your spouse and your children and your parents. Certain ratio. Then if you are not married, then you will go to your parent. If no more parent, your brothers and your sisters. So this is the Distribution Act that is already in the Constitution. But if you are a Muslim, then they have another act that govern according to what they call their Islamic law. So, either or, you will not get to own them. It becomes your it become inheritance to those who are supposed to receive them. Then, like your EPF also, you have not nominated anybody. It will still follow the death without will. You will go into the estate and distribute it accordingly. But then all this is to tell you that the reality of this existential world is everything is condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think. So ultimately it's empty. Ultimately you come to this world empty. That's why the Mahayana, they have this beautiful saying in Mandarin, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Namo si zu he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei na. So the meaning is very profound, very deep. He said when we come to this world, we are born into this world empty. We don't bring along anything. We are born naked. Understand? You don't own anything. Then as you grew up, you start to cling on to things, grasp on to things, own things, possess things. That's how you develop your attachment, your craving, your grasping, your clinging, and all those things. There are a lot of things you start to hold. Then, during death, what happened? You cannot bring along any of these things. Even your wealth, your property, your loved one, even your beautiful children, you cannot bring along. They don't follow you. So upon death, when the breath stops, consciousness separate, again you cannot own anything. Means between birth and death, when you come empty, when you go empty, all this in between is a delusion where you believe you own, you think you own, but you never really own. So if that is the case, then why do you grieve in between? Means work so hard as you toil this life, then get yourself miserable, entangled, sometimes very, very unhappy, miserable, fearful, the lack of love and insecurity and all those things. Then when you are afflicted by the realities of life and existence, you got so much suffering, fear, worry, and maybe sorrow, lamentation, and all those things. So all this is what the Buddha say, grief. When you grieve over emptiness, if you are born empty, when you die also you go empty, then why in between do you grieve over emptiness? Why can't you understand life and use that understanding to live life? So that fourth contemplation is very deep. Separation is a reality. Separation can come any moment in the form of death. Straight away separate. Then sometimes it's not death, the Buddha said. Marriage failure, which happened to many families, lead to divorce, is another type of separation. And this type of separation from loved ones, whether due to relationship failure or death, or nowadays even nature's disaster, tsunami, earthquake, war, riots, snatch thief also can lead to sudden death, then accident. Then there are many possibility for separation to occur, sometimes because of poverty, like in the olden days, you are forced to separate from your brothers, your sister, your parents cannot afford, they have to give you away. Sometimes they become slaves, they become other people's maid or workers. So this type of separation, when the condition is no more conducive, it is called a forced separation. So these four relate to the first noble truth reality. But the fifth one, the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. This one you have to contemplate deep into it. Because with this understanding, you will know how to live life. It will help you solve all your problems of life. Then it can help you improve your life, develop the understanding to have the good life, so that you don't have to suffer like most people who don't have this understanding or the Buddha's teaching. We call it the Buddha Dhamma. If you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma, which means karma plays such a great role in your life. Almost 99.999% you are what you are because of karma. The Buddha says you are born of it, heir to it, means you inherit whatever karma give to you. And you are what you are because of your karma, every moment, every instant, because you are a bit conditioned. So you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported every moment by your karma. So if I understand that karma plays such a great role, I must take care of karma. Otherwise, whatever life I am born into, I will have big problem because I am born of that karma, inherit everything that the karma brings along. So just now I was sharing a small part with Anne's son about law of cause and effect. We call it the moral causation. Law of karma is about the mind, mental, involving morality. That's why we call it moral causation. Whereas the physical law of nature is nothing to do with mental intention. It's physical law, like Newton's law of cause and effect. You throw an object against a hard wall. The harder you throw, the equal and opposite reaction for the ball to hit back is there. So when it comes to moral causation, it involves mental intention. If your mental intention is negative, then you will plant the seed of evil, means negative karma. Your action, your speech, and your thought process that you arise when you execute those things, if it's filled with evil root, you become evil. Means you cause suffering to fellow beings. You cause death to fellow beings. You deceive them. You cheat them. You create a lot of unnecessary suffering and misery to them. Then in between, you yourself also suffer. You yourself also, because of fear, because of selfishness, you do all those things. And all this come from delusion, the Buddha said. So if you don't take care of karma, means you become heedless. You simply do things. Means you don't understand this law, or you don't believe this law. you tend to act through your own selfishness. So selfishness will make you greedy, because when you are selfish, you believe you exist. You believe there's a person, personality. Then the egoic mind have craving, have desire to own things, to have things, to steal things, to deceive, to cheat. That's how the evil root comes about. Greed, hatred, delusion, selfishness. Then you believe this is you. So this self-delusion creates the evil root and make you evil. Then when you are born of your karma, add to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. So the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. What you do to people, you will become the victim in future. Come back to you. You will suffer back. So if you understand that this is a nature's law, this is not a man-made law, then you have to develop this understanding and understand how to live life so that you can accord and flow with this understanding. Then you will not get yourself entangled. Means you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to take care of karma. How to take care of karma? The Buddha said, avoid all evil. When you avoid all evil, means you avoid all the evil action of greed, hatred and delusion that can bring about suffering and misery to fellow living beings. You will not cheat all those people, because when you cheat all those people, you become evil. When you deceive them, when you make life difficult for them, when you commit sexual misconduct, when you tell lies, arise all the wrong speeches, you backbite, you tell lies, you say negative things behind people's back, then you also have this what they call anger, hatred that make you violent. So these are all they call wrong speeches, because you speak very harshly, very angrily, violently. So it brings about a lot of suffering and misery to fellow living beings. So if you do this to people, the law of karma is you reap what you sow. Then when you come in future birth, or sometimes same life as you get old, when you are not so powerful, when you are not so like energetic or what, then there will be condition for things to reverse its role. Then you get bullied back, or people come and take revenge against you. Or in future life, when you take rebirth, you become the victim. Like this life, you push drug, you take advantage of people, you dump them, you divorce them, you make them miserable. So in future, when you come, you become drug addict, people push drug to you. Well, that is what you did to people. Then you cause people to have this type of suffering and misery you don't understand. So this is the part, if you understand, you will tell yourself, yeah, I want to have the good life, because this law of karma is so powerful. We are all born of it, air to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. So we have to avoid all evil. Avoid all evil means we keep our precepts. We are those who violate their five precepts. They are evil people. Yeah. Like the first precept, killing. Who kill? Selfish people, greedy people, violent people, deluded people. The evil roots are there. That's why they are capable of evil. They cause suffering and misery to fellow living beings. The second precept also, when you steal, you deceive and you cheat, also you cause a lot of suffering. People may lose all their money and their wealth. Like now, you hear of a lot of this pyramid scheme, all the various types of scam. So even medium, they also deceive and cheat people, the fortune teller. Then if you believe all those, like they sell you this type of so-called precious stone or magic stone that have power, they say. Some pay 50,000 in Thailand, they pay 100,000 just to get a stone. But ultimately, it's not the stone that decides your life, it's your karma. So no matter what you do, feng shui or fortune telling or even believe in buying all this stone, spiritual stone or whatever, they call it omelette, and not omelette, amulet. We call omelette, amulet. Yeah? And the fool and all say, forget about it, because the people at that time asked the Buddha, what is the highest protection? The Buddha's answer is very simple, virtue. When you have virtue, V-I-R-T-U-E, virtue protect. What is virtue? Goodness, kindness. That is the one that take care of your karma. That is the one that will protect you. Yeah, you reap what you sow. So if you avoid all evil, you don't harm people, don't deceive, don't cheat, and don't cause misery and suffering. In future, when you come, you got no negative karma. You will not encounter with those beings that will cheat you, harm you, deceive you, and do all those things to you. Even relationship failure, all will not happen. So that's why this is a very powerful law. So if you understand, you will not violate. Then you have to develop the wholesome life. So the Buddha said, to have the good life, you not only avoid all evil, you have to do good. Cultivate more goodness, more virtue, more wholesome, and help people. Then in future when you come, even if you go through difficult patches of life, there will be people who help you where you help others before. Then like those who are deluded. Then finally, people who knows the Dhamma, they tell them, you suffer because of this law of karma and because you don't know the Dhamma. So they bring you to people who knows the Dhamma, like a lot of Kayanamita. You come through your friends. Then you learn to have this understanding. Then you decide to change yourself, to improve your life, to bring about wholesomeness, to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Then you learn to meditate, to develop wisdom. Then you realize your life changed. When your mind state changed, your life changed because you are born of your karma, add to your karma, conditions supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So when that happens, when you have this beautiful mind state, it will bring about beautiful condition for good karma that you have to arise. Then you will meet more and more virtuous people. You will meet more and more you call guirana, who helped you, who supported you. Then you will have good relationship with fellow living beings who are also practicing, cultivating like Kayanamitas. Then you will have good family life, good relationship with people, because you cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, then you reap what you sow. Then you, because you are incapable of negativity, all this negative karma all will not come and afflict you or cause you any more problem. Then the other life related suffering, like going through old age, sickness and death, this one need wisdom, because this are reality of life and existence, the Buddha said. Each and every living being, when we are born, we have to confront getting old, getting sick, and one day die. And this one is nothing to do with karma. Karma is when you avoid all evil, do good, means you avoid the evil karma. Do good means you cultivate blessings, merits, goodness, wholesomeness. So your blessing and your goodness or merits, they are like your spiritual wealth, spiritual money. It's just like in this world, we work hard, we earn money. So when you do good, you also, law of karma recognize, so you receive merits, they call gong tek, gong te, then also you are blessed, you have blessing, merits and blessing. So these are like your spiritual wealth, like money in our civilization. If you have money, you can use it for the well-being of yourself, your loved one, and others. Because you can use this money wholesomely, yeah, to help yourself, to provide for your own comfort, to provide for your own whatever use, even to provide for your family. That's how to bring about happiness. The first type of happiness is happiness of possession, knowing that you earn it righteously, without any bad karma. Where you don't deceive, you don't cheat, you earn them righteously. So the happiness of possession will be there. Then when you use this wealth to help yourself, your family, your loved one, and others, to have better life, to support them in various ways to free their burden, relieve their burden. There is another type of joy, because when you donate to charity, when you help the poor, when you provide food to those who are in hunger, when you provide opportunity for them to go to school, education and other things, then you come out with donation to build all this dialysis center, or donate to hospital and all those things. Even donating blood and all those things, or organ, planting your organ, they are all wholesome. So these are goodness, these are blessing. So just like the physical world, where money you earn righteously, you can use it for things that make you happy, peaceful, and help out many people. In future, you reap what you sow. When you come future life, when you have problem, you will have these people who will help you, donate to you. Then the third happiness is you can use this money to pay off your debt, free of debt. You have a very good feeling when you are free of debt. Those who borrow money from loan shark, they will know. Without debt, wow, they say that is the best thing to happen. So this is the part that we can understand. Then spiritual money, your merits and your blessing is the same. If it's allowable, then you can invoke the power of merits. You say, by the power of this merits, or this blessing that I have cultivated, may arise the causes and conditions for certain things to happen. You can channel that pure wish by using your spiritual wealth. May my loved ones be well and happy. May they recover from their physical sickness or disease or problem. May no harm come to them. So when you invoke it this way, if it's through the nature's law allowable, then it can manifest. It's just like money. If you want to buy TV, you want to buy all this luxurious good to make your family life better, or you want to make offering and donation, you can. It's allowable. But you want to use money that, and you try to use this money to buy things that people don't sell to you, it's impossible, understand? You cannot think you have money. Hey, I want to buy your wife. Cannot. People won't sell to you. Or I want to buy your girlfriend. There is no such thing. So you cannot evoke power of merits to have ridiculous aspiration. You cannot say by the power of whatever wholesomeness and merits that I've cultivated, may arise a cause of money for me to be enlightened tomorrow. You can. Everybody enlightened. But there are certain things that is allowable. Then you can make aspiration, like the Buddha said, to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so the enlightenment in the here and the now could be realized soon as possible. This is allowable. Understand? So what I try to draw at is the first part. When you understand this law of karma, you take care, then your rebirth consciousness, the future life, you will be taken care of. But that one is rebirth consciousness, understand? Like you are reborn as a human being, let's say. The condition must be there. The rebirth consciousness, actually, initially when they go, that's why it depends on the timing. The selection is not done by a god or what. It's all law of karma. Whatever condition, the last rebirth consciousness, they will immediately go. Then you read the Mahayana Sutta, they will tell you, even one of my teachers told me, he said, still, do you know, when you have a good, what they call DNA body, that means it depends on the timing and the condition. When this couple who conceive, they have good gene, good DNA and what, you know how many those beings who have the good karma, they will fight for this type of body. It's billion fighting for one. No? You want to stand a chance, you must have that type of virtue to take the birth. But those that are born of drug addict, irresponsible parent, that one, if you are a cultivator, you won't land into that womb. Because no chance. You don't have that negative karma. You have been a responsible parent before. You do not neglect your children. You are not a gambler. You are not a drug addict. You are not a drinker. You are not someone who abuse your family member, who neglect your duty. If you don't have this past karma, then you will not enter those womb. But if you do all this nonsense most of your life, I tell you, very fast you become the first one to go in. The condition is such, you are the most conducive to take birth there. And then when you are born, you go and ask God, how come my parents are that one? How come they abuse me? They are so irresponsible. They never take care of me. This is what karma is all about. So when you understand, you will do your duty very well. You will be a responsible parent. You will be a responsible child. You will be a responsible even in relationship as a brother or sister, or even colleague and good friend. So this is what karma is all about. So when you understand, then this rebirth consciousness, initially is just the pure rebirth consciousness go over. Then you know the baby take 10 months to develop. So this pure consciousness initially got no activity, go in. Some people believe that it go in later, after some time only it go in. But actually it's not like that, it's already there. But the later part, there's another type of consciousness that will also go in, because it's time for them to conceive. So as the, what they call sperm and ovum, subdivide, this so-called fetus slowly that grow and multiply, within the how many weeks, they will start to develop, I think after 2 months or what, start to develop the senses. But they are still very primitive, it's still evolving. Then only the ear, the eye, the one, everything start to grow into a baby. Then it will become a child, embryo, then a child. Then just before rebirth or whatever, that main consciousness may go in. There are people who can see, they say that is what happened, but not important. Because initially it's just the rebirth consciousness, and the rebirth consciousness is very pure. That's why the child, when they are born, they are very pure. They got no memory, nothing. They are very innocent, very naive. So that is what rebirth is. Then slowly you learn from the people who take care of you. It can be your parents, your mate, or whatever. Then you start to learn. They will teach you. Papa, mama, you learn. Then you make funny sound. Because you are so innocent. Then when you see things, you perceive the reality. Because there is no memory, no concept, nothing. Actually, you have pure consciousness at that time, but no use. Understand? You don't have that type of brain to understand. But when you become a meditator, a cultivator, you want to go back to that type of consciousness. You see things as they are, before the concept, before the words, before the views and opinion come in, the conditioning to distort your seeing. But as a baby, pure seeing, direct seeing, but there is no awareness, no consciousness. That's like you cannot learn anything. So meditation is like that. When you are conscious of yourself, aware, but you don't have the ability to silence your mind, you cannot be aware. That's why the conscious being become the egoic mind, because they only use thought. That's why they can never understand. It's only after you learn to meditate, you are taught to be silent, to be aware, to be mindful without thought. And then only you can develop the understanding to observe what is happening. Then you realize there are two minds. One is the silent mind, your true nature, true mind. The other one is the conditioned arising mind, thinking mind, that has the universal characteristics of impermanence. through grasping, clinging, arise suffering. And because of that, it's impermanent, there is non-self. And because it's impermanent, it's also empty. Finally, it's empty. We are everything come and go, condition arising. So all this is related to that rebirth consciousness. That's how slowly, slowly, as a child, the consciousness becomes more and more sophisticated. Then you learn. Then you have attachment, you have craving, you have conditioning. So your environment condition you, your parent condition you, your outlook outside is being conditioned also by your school you go to, the teacher, or the kindergarten you go to, by the media, by honesty. But the biggest counterpart that condition you the most is your past karma, where you are born of it, heir to it, condition. So what type of DNA is recorded? If you kill people a lot, cause a lot of suffering to people, you will have very weak DNA. You will tend to have this DNA that will have a lot of suffering. Sometimes short life, sometimes have a lot of sickness, disease. Because everything is according to karma. So if you have a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of goodness, you don't harm people or what, your DNA is a lot better. So that's why law of karma is very fair. So this is concerning rebirth, okay? So rebirth as a human being, like our Wei Hong asked, then ancestor tablet for what? And I said, no, you're not around. Oh, it's not like that. I said, no. Well, what is that? What is that? I used to tell you what? Separation of consciousness from the physical body. And I said, no. And this consciousness, which is the accumulation of all your, what they call, memory, your experience, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, whatever, your culture, your tradition, everything within this bundle of memory and conditioning. This is what the living being is all about. And this one is not you. But this one has evolved over the years since you are born until now to become like very, very complicated. So what happened upon death is this consciousness come out. And this one is no more you. No? This is the random of consciousness. The balance that is inside that come out. You actually already don't exist. Because your physical form is gone. But this consciousness remains. No? We call it random is because like you burn a piece of timber or log. After it burns until towards the end, what happens? The flame gone. Then smoke. Still got a little bit of warm heat. Smolder. Then finally, completely gone. No more smoke, nothing. Means that consciousness disperses no more. But before it disperses, it depends on its delusion, its ignorance, its attachment. If this random of consciousness that come out has delusion, has a lot of attachment to this world, this one can remain very long. That's why some Tibetan teaching, they talk about Bardo state. The first 1 week, second 1 week. Then the Chinese also follow. That's why they ask you to hold ceremony for them. Tao chat, yi chat, sam chat, and yu chat chat. 49. So this is what people believe. But it doesn't mean that this consciousness does not exist. It exists. And the reason why I can tell you, when I was young, this consciousness came out before. It actually technically died. I was detached from this body. Then when I realized I'm up there, that time I was 8 or 9 years old. Then I wanted to go back to my body. I cannot enter my body. I cannot enter. Well, I'm completely out. Actually, I died. Then I saw the craving force, how it dissipates. Then how my consciousness come out. Then when I meditate also, you know how to silence your mind until so still. Then you can see. Then you understand. You go into cessation, then you know how it starts, all this process. What life is all about. How the consciousness, pure awareness, activate this brain, animate it, and then the living being exists again. That's why it's condition arising. But when condition cease, when this consciousness cannot be supported in the form, it will have to leave. When karmic force no more, the heart no more pumping, the blood cannot flow, the organ will die, then this consciousness will have to come out. So when it comes out, this is the one they call the random or consciousness that will be around. And this is the one that have delusion, that's why they believe in the ancestor tabloid. Then they can see you, they can hear you, that's why you don't simply say things. Especially to your mother-in-law. Then there's a lot of other things. So this is what the random of consciousness is all about. It will stay depending on the attachment, the craving, the clinging, the grasping. Then sometimes this, what they call random consciousness, they will wander around. But even if the attachment is very strong, the delusion is very strong, they cling on to, they hold on to. Even during the Buddha's time, it was mentioned, some of the disciples, they saw their past life. And they are very well cultivated disciples also. I forgot the name already. Two of the disciples, I think. When they died, they were born as rats. So. But because they got so much attachment to their wealth and their family, so they stay there, you know, for so long. They still believe those wealth belong to them and all those things. So there are many Jataka stories that talks about all these things too. So what is more important is to answer his question. This random consciousness, they will move around, they will float around. Then after a long period of time, then they realize all the people they know one by one start to die. And so on, pass away. And sometimes when they come out, the consciousness come out, they meet them. Then they will tell you, hey, you die already. They ask you, how you know? Last time I like you come out before. That's why he will tell you, we can hear them on, we can see them on, we know what they are talking on. Sometimes you think also they can read your mind on. But there is no psychic, nothing. Because when they come out, their consciousness are a lot more powerful. But it's not trapped inside already. It's a relief. There is no more suffering in the sense that when there is no delusion. The suffering due to the form, no more. Dukkha, dukkata, no more. But sometimes because of delusion, they can still get angry, jealous and all those things. They still got attachment. Then within this consciousness, it has its senses. Yeah, when I came out when I was young, I remember, I can hear, I can see. I was out of the body without the physical senses. But I can see, I can hear very clear. So all this you will never understand unless you meditate, you have your past. So this is not hearsay or the theory, the what. This is what this form of mind has gone through earlier. That's how I can tell you. So after a long period, let's say, all those whom you know already gone. Understand? Then you go everywhere also no more meaning. Because then finally, your this consciousness, it will dissolve. Then you got no more attachment, no more craving. Then it just dispersed, gone. Yeah. And this type of consciousness, there are a lot in this world. So this is why when you have ancestral tabloid, because they are still deluded, they still believe, then they were like in our world, we have our culture, our tradition, our belief system. We also have our religious belief and all those things. So they were also like you in the underworld with this type of belief. That's why they got ching beng and all those things, although they cannot eat physically. But they feel happy, understand? Because all the other, what they call random or consciousness, or sometimes you are born into that state, understand? You may not be a human being. Then hungry ghost or what? Because you just become hungry ghost, understand? Then you are in that state. That is not the random or consciousness. That is really who you are. Your rebirth state. So during that time, the moment you are born into that, yeah, you will actually be subjected to karma too. That's like born of your kind. So you have greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you, because of your karma, they say, even if people share merit and transfer merit to you and give you food, you cannot eat because of your karmic. Your karmic friction. Even there were stories like a store bodhisattva, Kuan Yin bodhisattva, he tried to went down and help the father, you remember? Created through psychic, the food. The father cannot eat. The moment put in the mouth become red hot, molten, like molten, burning thing. Then need to actually make offering to the Buddhas and all those things that invoke power of merit. Then only the father become a take rebirth as a cow. Remember? That's like Kuan Yin disciple or those who believe in Kuan Yin have faith. They try not to eat beef. It's because of that. They scared they will eat the father. Understand? But then so long already. Understand? So it's just the culture pass it down and people has that belief. So what is important is in that world, that so-called rhyme or society, they also have their this type of delusion and belief. So if they can be accepted in the house of the relative or their children or those who have relationship with them because you have ancestor temple, then they see you make offering, they have this joy. Then like in the Terakoda Sutta, they say, you respect them, they will protect you. They will have joy and happiness, and your house vibration will become better. So even like the Chigwepua, all those things, let's say everybody, or most people, they have their younger generation, loved one, to come and maybe make offering and clean up the place. So they all have the joy because even once a year they have the joy. Then they see a lot of people have. What happens if you neglect your family and don't do all those things and you don't have an ancestor tablet in your house? You don't go Ching Ping. What happens? I tell you, they are still deluded. No? So down there, they were also like our village. Like your son grow up already, your children grow up already. We came out of our village, then we work in PJKL, some overseas. Then when we are successful, we tend to send money back. Then we tend to help them. So then sometimes you buy property for them. Sometimes you make their life so much better. You give them free trip and all those things. You take them overseas. So this word will spread or not. Hey, your son got send money or not? Your children got visit you or not? Got do this to for the family or not. Then if everybody, most of them got and you don't have, you sure unhappy. So what you do? You will write letter, complain. Last time write letter, now email. Then what happened? After letter go, no reply. Then you got even more unhappy process. Then you try to go and look for them. Then you realize they shifted already without even telling you where they are. Or then you again feel so hurt, so unhappy. So love become hatred, understand? How can my children do this to me? I sacrifice so much, struggle and save all my saving, hard earned money, sponsor his overseas education. Now he did that to me. So your anger, your hatred become evil. And then in future, that evil negative energy will hit. Then the children will become victim. So in future they will become parents that support all these children, sacrifice everything, provide them. Then again their children will ignore them. And then they suffer the thing that they did to their parents. This is what karma is about. You reap what you sow. So the so-called July month festival, Chigwepua. So some who don't do this and don't have ancestor tablet at home, you know what they do? They also get angry with you. Then they, if got karma, got condition, you got negativity, you don't have virtue, they come and disturb you. Understand? But if you are Buddhist, you got ancestor tablet, then you every time do puja, do hosamna, go dhamma session, you eat dang menya, tidang ho, they all will receive. They love you like anything. So they will be very happy. But they can see it. They can see you know, in their eyes. Oh, who received what? Then suddenly, how come transform? Oh, then those who know the Dhamma, because they are children, they are whatever, loved one, they are Buddhists, they have Dhamma, they eat dang menya, tinang ho tu. Oh, jabir. That's why I say, as Kayanamitta, you don't worry. Even you born Petarai, you sure got eat dang menya, tinang ho tu. They call it departed one's relative or friend. Dhamma friend is still friend. So in a way, you don't worry, you are born in the Petarai. Otherwise, who chamon? Like that King Bimbisara relative. Because they deceive the what they call it. There is a past Samasa Buddha. There was a Katina. Then they misappropriate the money that people donate. So because of that, the karma was so heavy. They were actually, through karma, conditioned into rebirth in the hell. They were born in the hell for so long until they come out and become peta. They only come out and become peta, no? Out of hell rhyme only. The first rhyme after hell is peta rhyme. They call it hungry go. The whole world system already so different. They realize that they got no more relative here. No? If you are born in the same world system for many, many times, like the Buddha said, you will have relative one. Somehow, so many billions of birth and death, you will have relative. This one, because it went down so long, the whole civilization will say, come on, cannot find any relative. So when that Buddha, Mahakasapa, before Sakyamuni was there, they went and inquired, and the Buddha checked. He said, oh, last time you all committed this very severe karma, misappropriate the Sasana Samasambuddha Sangha, and you were born in hell for very long. So now you come out, no more relative. That's why you cannot receive. Then the Kasapa Buddha checked. Oh, he said, God, got one. You will meet one. King Bimbisara. But you have to wait till another world cycle, another Samasa Buddha come out. Then they wait for Sakyamuni. That's why they waited so long, and yet that king forgot to transform already. That's why that night he got a very, very severe dream from all these ancestors. They come and disturb him. Then that type of dream he told the Buddha the next day. Then the Buddha Sakyamuni checked. Oh, he said, your ancestors are waiting for you to transform already, and you didn't do. That's how that sutta come about. Then the Buddha said, never mind, you invite us again. Then the Buddha used his psychic ability to show to this King Bimbisara. Then every time he make offering and invoke the sharing of merit and transform merit, he saw them, no? Transformed to become devas and all those things, came out of it immediately. Then some become like the dress all become very different immediately. The moment he say that, immediate, because it's very powerful merits. So these are things that you can get from the Jataka story, the sutta. So they do exist, but they are like normal living beings. They also have delusion. You don't have to fear them on earth, no? Because they don't have physical form. They cannot do anything to you. They can only have power over you when you have fear. That's why they got this eerie energy around. In the Terakoda Sutta is written, is that they will come around and create this eerie type of energy. That's why sometimes you go into certain houses, you don't have this type of Dhamma understanding. You go in, especially when you buy a new house, you don't know how to feel and check. You will have this being come and haunt you. Some of them are your departed relatives. Because you don't know how to honor them. You don't know how to actually share merit, transfer merit, and do the right thing. You don't have Dhamma, you don't have virtue. So virtue protect, but you don't have. So that's how people get into trouble. Then they go and do chanting worse. Because when you do chanting, that vibration, they think you want to fight them. Oh, if they want to fight, come, we fight. That's why they kena. There was one couple last time who came and see me when I was teaching in Cempaka Buddhist Lodge. Then I teach them to talk to them and apologize and all that. I then resolve. Because they bought a new house, renovate. During that 3 months of renovation, it's like hell, is it? Is it, don't know what happened. The relationship with the husband was very good, and he said, suddenly when they started the renovation, everything go wrong. Contractor also become crazy, you see. Every time get angry and a lot of things. Then they came to the temple. Then the temple say, you go and see Brother Teo, he is teaching meditation, then maybe he can advise you. Then after the meditation, they came and see me. And this was 8 years ago. I remember 2006, I think. Oh, 10 years ago, yeah, 06. I forgot already, it's 06 or 07. Then, at first I didn't know what happened. But I looked at them with so much fear and so agitated. Then first thing I asked is, did you buy a new house? He said, yeah. Did you do renovation? Oh, then he told me, he said, yes. I said, no wonder. These non-human were there before you, I said. Then you know what he told me, no? He said, yeah, I went to Brickfield. They told me. They say, buy this chanting tape and go back and play. And they really buy the chanting tape, you know, Paritta chanting. They say when they play, it becomes worse, more powerful. Because I say, sure, you kena kau-kau, because you are like challenging them. This type of vibration, they don't know what is it. But it creates that type of vibration that they don't like. So they sure fight you back. Oh, they say like that one. So what must I do? Luckily, I don't know how to cheat them. Otherwise, I like Bomo tell them, hey, you have to pay me so much. Then only I teach you how to overcome. I give them free advice. I say, you don't worry, you calm down. You must have faith in the Buddha Dhamma. I say, you must know about karma and all things. So I say, you should talk to them. Very simple. I say, you mean just talk? Yeah, they can hear you. They can even see you. But you cannot see them. You cannot hear them. First, you go back, and the first thing you do is apologize. You say, I'm sorry for what I have done. Because I didn't know you all were here before me. But you have to explain to them, you say. In our society, when we buy over a house, we pay a certain amount of money. Then we take a loan, the bank will pay the owner. Then we get to own this house. That's why we have the right to do renovation and all those things. But I understand you all were here before me. So we really, really would like to apologize for our ignorance. Please forgive us. Yeah? So now, you talk to them nicely. You are most welcome to stay. But please do help protect the house. Because this is going to be our home. And also your home. So our renovation is to improve the layout of the house so you can have a better environment. Then I will set up maybe ancestral tablet. Then you got the Tei Chu Kong and all those things for the devas. You say, I will set up all this, you all can stay here, no problem. But please help protect this place. And we will share merits with you, transfer merits to you. But sometimes you have to be careful. If they are not Buddhist, non-human, or Chinese, or we are Vikana once in KK, Kola Kinabalu, Kota Kinabalu. We Kayamita together Yun Chan, they all, I think 8 of us, we were on this trip to Sabah. We visit the Kundasan, then the other town over the other side is, what's the name, Marie? A very famous town where a lot of seafood are. Kota Kinabalu, the other side, near to Taiwan. Sanakat. We visited a few temples. Then one of the Kayamita, the brother, we didn't know he was a Christian. No. He recommended a hotel somewhere in between one. No. After Kundasan, I think there's another hotel somewhere there. So we, on our way up, we stay there. On our way back, we also stay there. That one was an old church. No. Then become abandoned. No. Bought over by a hotel operator. No. But cheap hotel. No. Then they say, I think the Christian, they decide to sell it to their Christian operator. Right? So this place, because the brother tried to help the sister, they think we need the budget hotel. He said, this one really cheap one. We all church people always go on. It's really cheap. But then it's an old church. So full of the spirit that is of the Christian belief. There you have to be careful. That was how I learned. So the moment we check in, I realized something not right. Then of course we had this, after we check in, we have a gathering outside. It's a sitting area, settee or this. Then while we were talking and sharing the Dhamma, there were one cat sitting at the side. And this cat, I think, good one. This cat like to listen to us. There was another cat outside, very fierce one. While we were sharing, all of a sudden, that one come in, I want to attack this one. Very loud. The moment I heard that, I knew it. Then I said, tone down. Don't talk so much Dhamma anymore. Where this place is. The church before. That night, Stephanie was also there. Good boy was also there. That night, I knew already. When I went back to the hotel room, I lie down, I silent. Then I meditate. I can feel them, a lot of them. Then I talk to them, explain to them, like we explain our civilization. When we book the hotel room, we actually paid online. Then we have the right to stay, understand you are here. Yeah? Then I wish them well-being and happiness. We meant no harm. May you be well and happy. I tell you, after about 1 hour to 2 hours only, they willing to sign treaty with you. Because we raised the white flag. then only they quiet down. Then after that, I felt it. I thanked them. I said, thank you so much. I said, on our way back, we will stay another 2 nights. I hope you all understand. So we meant no harm. We are other Buddhists, but we also have our understanding of life. We also have love, Jesus' love and compassion. So I explained that. Then after that, the next morning, I asked Stephanie, last night, how? Wow, he said, first 2 hours, cannot sleep. And Kumoy also tried to sleep, say a lot of words until Stephanie also panicked. Many of the other room I checked also got problem that first 2 hours. That's why you cannot simply do what you like in and out. Because certain place, they are already with that belief system. So not all non-human you think is Chinese or Buddhist. You better be careful. So you must have goodness, kindness. You must talk to them. If you cannot see them, doesn't mean they don't exist. Well, I had some Kayamita last night in the early days, the first day. They were from Devarayam, come down. And they can see them, they can even talk to them. And they are actually together when they are Devas up there. And these are the Deva friends that try to help them as human. And they tell them a lot of stories. They say, on earth, who are the one? Who are the cultivator who has been cultivating very long? They can see one, they can know one. Then up there, they also know one. Where got good cultivator with virtue one. Where they go, where they visit, they all know one up there. It's just like our civilization. When famous monk want to visit which temple or what, they make announcement in there. Then you come to know. Oh, then all get excited. Then you, by word of mouth, you go and tell your friend. Your friend go and tell the family member, the friend, and everybody get to know. So up there also same, no? Oh, there this special being, cultivator, what they are going to visit, where what they. That's why our spiritual trip, they know one. Before that, before you go. That's why everything will fall into place when you have this understanding. Then I always share marriage transformation and thank them, rejoice with them. There's a sharing of marriage, transfer marriage is very important. Okay? So with that, I hope you can have better understanding of all these things. Oh, 2:45. We still got 1 hour. Yeah. Go. You better go. Joyce have to go for the week. Yeah. Yeah, go. We are you all together, No problem, So while I have a drink,
Rodney, I would like to ask, you know, some people say when the parents, let's say the father is very evil, in the end everything will fall to the son or daughter one. I want to understand about that.
So what is your question? What is your question?
The question is like, you know, some people say, bou hiong lei ge zai lei shen xiang.
So your question is this true?
Yeah, is this true? Yeah.
Ah, okay. Off it. You all hear the question? In Chinese, you used to say bou ying understand? Bou ying So the Chinese used to have this belief one. They say you do a lot of evil, what will happen to your life? In Cantonese, they used to say, "报应啊，报应啊." Then, chit chin, it means you don't have son, you don't have grandchildren, or they will not have good life. Especially those who do Mao San and all those things. It's not like that one. It's not what you think one. If your father's evil karma, he will reap the evil consequence. Understand? But this Po Ying one come about because of what people observe. Actually, what people observe is not what you think. There's a law of karma. It's very complicated. Very, very... what they call intricate. That's why the Buddha say it's not easy to understand the law of karma unless you are a Sammasambuddha or you are a very special cultivator, because karma is not like one straight line or another. Not that you do this, then this will be your friction. Not like that one. Everything is dependent originating. Conditional, right? No condition, nothing happens. So karma is a mixture of a lot of conditions. Well, you are not the only being in this world. There are countless beings. And all this summation of their consciousness become the collective consciousness. And law of karma will operate without mistake on. It's not like a computer can have breakdown or button. Or no law of karma, no mistake on. So what happened is this type of so-called bullying. In English, what you call?
Revenge.
Onto your children, your grandchildren. It's not like that one. Sometimes these people who do all this because of their karma, they will have children that last time also did all this to people. Understand? So they haven't experienced this type of suffering. So they will have children who have that type of DNA and that type of problem to be born into the family. And because of what they did, it's still their karma for them to experience the suffering as a parent who is still deluded. They will have attachment to their children and their grandchildren. Then they will regret what they do, especially those who do psychic. Or in the Chinese tradition, there's one sect they call Mao San. You heard of Mao San? They put charm on. Someday they make use of their mantra in order to control the non-human to help achieve things for them. They can even control the young pretty lady and marry them. Because when I was young, opposite my father's house, there was one. He is actually not that bad one. His kung fu is very good one. But he is from that sect that also study Mao San practices. His writing is very nice. But he had a very young wife. And they say this young wife, actually, because of Mao San, the wife get to marry him. But then later on we saw the wife was okay. We had treat the wife quite well. So this one is not something evil. And because he later on changed to a right livelihood, she don't do all those things anymore. Then when he teach Kung Fu also, he don't want to teach his own children, his own son. His son was my classmate, this I know. And his son, I tell you, fighting cock. Really. Really like to fight. And then the father don't want to teach him. No. You know what he did? Yeah, this disciple of the father come to his house and practice. Then he get to know them. No. Then he go and ask the disciple to teach him. No. He secretly learn. And because he got this type of negative tendency karma, so in school, he be called fighting God. Yeah, he really want to fight you. Then we in the school, we got one very famous one. Not to say famous, notorious one. Oh, very big size one, very fierce one. Then what happened was, after he learned this Kung Fu, he knew he can defeat this guy. So when that guy bullied him, when he every time cannot bully, he cannot take it. Then he challenged him, no, openly, you know, if you are a man, see you after school. You're after school is 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. So they will go to one corner of the school, but nobody is here, then fight. So we all know, so a lot of the classmates who know one, all go and see. All go and see. But he really good, after that he whacked the fellow. Then the fellow did not bully him anymore. Then later on he thought he very good, he come out. He go and look for trouble. He thought he very good. So he go around. Our place there, where I was young, they got three roads, 杀掉了，逃掉了，挤掉了，杀掉了 all the gangster。So he thought he can fire. He go around and he challenge them. Then of course first round he win. Then this one go back and report to the Tai Lo. Tai Lo report to the Sifu. So send second team go whack. He kena. Then after that he was very very unhappy. Then he went and see the what they call the father's Totai again. The father told I saw that they not teach him already. Tell the father. Luckily, the father helped him to resolve it. Yeah, the father is very good, very, very good. He really, I think Yong Chun one, if I'm not wrong. he actually entered competition in Taiwan and sometimes they go to China. He's quite a famous fighter. Then resolve. So what I was told one because of what he did earlier on. His first marriage was, he suffered. The children all suffered. That's why after that he changed. This is to let you see that there is really such thing as law of karma. So that's why he changed. He regretted his action. Then because he changed to a proper livelihood and start to help people, he decided not to teach Kung Fu to even his own children, his own son. That was the second marriage. Then later on, he became a very good person. So that's why the son, nothing happened. The Poing doesn't reach the second wife's son. And the wife is a very kind lady. He used to sell chow mai fan, cha bi hun and all those things for her son. And every time I go and buy, she give me more, and I don't know why. Maybe she know I'm the schoolmate of his son, her son. Very nice lady. So there are a lot of these things. So don't just believe what people tell you, because a lot of these are Chinese tradition and belief. Karma is not what you think. There must be causes and conditions behind. And to understand karma, you must understand it's very deep, intricate functioning. Functioning. It's not one dimensional, it's multi-dimensional, multi-condition. Then it, not necessarily that person do to you, in future you will become the victim and do back to that person. No. It's another being. Those who have the condition to have that tendency, wherever there is condition, you will kena already. So there's a lot of thing about karma that you can never understand until you have developed your own cultivation and witness all this and see and understand all this. But it's from life after life type of cultivation and experience. That's why Samasa Buddha take rebirth many, many times in all the 31 plane of existence. Then only they can develop the Samasa Buddhahood type of knowledge, omniscience and all those things. Because they have the ability to recall past life of what happened and all those things. Then when they recall, they understand these are the conditions that can bring about this type of karma. Then what other conditions? That's like the world system, everything, they will understand. So many of these things are really beyond what the normal mind of ordinary living being. Okay? Anything else? If nothing, then maybe we can end. Anybody got any question? You can make use of this for whatever sharing, because this is informal. It's meant to be like a informal Kayanamita gathering, where we get to partake in the house dana, rejoice in the wholesomeness, then develop some understanding through the Dhamma sharing. So now it's more important to develop clear understanding so that you cultivate with faith, with understanding. Then every Kayanamita can take turn to experience the different type of house dana that different Kayanamita will hold. Their house are all different. like you have been to, oh, then they got different deco. Then you can start to understand everyone is different. No two houses the same. Yes.
Can I have a sharing?
And then you wait for Mimi finish then only. Also, don't stay there. Stay here.
Okay, I want to have this sharing in relates to Brother Teo's sharing just now. This one happened to me when I was in China. The place is Lanzhou. So when I was there, I went with Selena and King Lan, the two sisters from SJBA. So when I reached there, the first thing we were being taken to a place where you can actually go by the riverside. Lanzhou is a place where they call it the mother of Huanghe. So when I was there, so we are asked to whether we want to take the raft, which is in the sheepskin. Actually, I was quite keen, but I decided not because I see the water is very fast. So, but the sense come to my nature is I wanted to touch the water. So I slowly walked to the river bank and I touched the water. The thing came to me is I'm home. I don't know why I do it. So after that, I looked for the two sisters. The two sisters was on the other side. Then suddenly she was very pucat, Selena. Then when I sat down beside her, I can feel a lot of beings around. So then I asked the sister to leave. Then the moment she get up, she was vomiting and her whole face is pucat. So the Taoyu is very good. Straight away she was sent to the hospital. So when we get back to the bus to go for the Ngao Yok Yin there, because there is the beef noodles is very famous. So when I get to the bus, I straight away do the Namotasa, the chanting, and I keep on sending merits because I can feel a lot of beings there. Then we have the Ngao Yok Yin. I keep on doing the chanting, and I keep on sending. And then after we finish the Ngao Yok Yin, we go back to the hotel. We check into the hotel. You'll be surprised. Selena, no problem, came back to the hotel. So now the thing is, I talked to my roommate. I said, tonight what we must do is we do chanting and we send merits. Because I didn't tell them I can feel a lot of beings. So then we actually agreed on a certain time to do the chanting. So because of this and my awareness of the beings around, I take up a piece of paper and I try to compose a very comprehensive way of sharing merits to benefit all these beings. So when I was doing that, I can feel, I think a lot of them is surrounding me. It's just like you're sitting. You can feel the pressure, a lot of beings. I didn't tell my roommate or the other two sisters. So then after that, the time to do the chanting, so we all sat on the bed to do the chanting. Because they are very good in chanting. I'm not a chanter, so I sat behind and do meditation. They did the chanting. So they did a few chanting to transfer merits. So the sister said, do you know, when we are doing the chanting, the bed is wobbling. I said, yaga. So this is to show all these beings, they are very, maybe it's the affinity with the two sisters and we all. So they actually can condition some of them to fall sick, to let you send the signal, and they want you to share the merits to them. So because of the experience, I asked the Taoyu the next morning, because I'm not, I don't study Chinese history. So I said, this Lanzhou place, is it a lot of people die here? Then according to her history, this is the first frontier with the Mongolians, the inner and outer Mongolia, or the West CEO, the Western region. So that's why it was a better view. So then I reflect, it could be all these beings. They all die in a very unwholesome state. That's why they want people to share the merits to them. Or maybe we have affinity with them. So until today, whenever I do my chanting, I still think of them and I do share with them. So this is one experience that I want to share. So, sadhu.
Thank you for the sharing here. We may pass to England. England got something. No. You come over here. You can sit on the stool, huh? Sit on the chair. Sit on the chair. Don't worry, sit on the chair, it's okay.
Brother Dale. Brother Dale, can you explain regarding just now you say when we recite Idamenyan
Tinahoto?
Do we need to mention their name or
recollect? No need. Because these are all departed relatives or those beings that can receive these merits. We call it transfer and sharing of merits. Normally with devas, it's the sharing of merit. They just rejoice, they will receive. It's meritorious. But for those like Peta, the departed relative, they cannot, because they cannot receive anything. You're down there, you cannot work, you got nothing. You have to depend on people to transfer merits to you. So when they transfer, then they receive. Otherwise, they are trapped down there. That's why they are very, I should say, very charm. Charm is what? Very pitiful. I think the word is very pitiful. Because down there, like the Buddha mentioned in the Tirukkuda Sutta, for departed relatives or this Petas, he said, there is no such thing like our civilization here, where you can plow. Plow means do farming. Plowing and merchandising means trade and all those things. Don't have such thing. Means you cannot have a job. You don't have money. You solely depend on people transferring merit to you. If nobody transfer merit to you, you will be down there for very long. Very, very long. So that is the reason why answer your question. Just now, your question is about. I know. You. Do you need to mention name? I said no need, because these are people who can receive. So that's why I add in this one. You observe our aspiration. Normally, it's transfer of merits. You turn to that page 5, I think. Page 5, sharing and transfer of merits. May this merit be shared and transferred to all beings, you see, without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. So sometimes, even they are not related to you, if they have condition and affinity to receive them, there is affinity where they are around. So when we chant this, they only need to rejoice. Then they can receive also. Then when they see people receive, they rejoice, they also can receive. Then sometimes, not necessary peta, where there are other non-humans around. Sometimes if earthbound devas and all those things. then you can also have the demon rhyme and all the various type of things. So I add in this one, those who have affinity and condition to receive them, it can also be shared and transferred to them. So transfer means normally you want to transfer money. It has to be to somebody you know, otherwise you wouldn't transfer. The bank also won't allow you to transfer. They say money laundering, it must be for a certain specific purpose, or same name to your children, like overseas education or what. Then you don't have to fill up the reason, to your own account, your own money. So that one is transfer. Then sometimes it's to your children studying overseas, so there is a relationship. So that's why loved ones, departed one. So to transfer money is not like share. Share means I can share my wealth with you, I can give it to you, understand? So you don't have to be my relative. But if you want to share with those beings also must know how to receive them. That's why sharing of merits is like this Akasata Chirubumata Vichan. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, may they share and rejoice in this wholesomeness. And then may they long protect the dispensation. So you share merits with them, then they rejoice. This is also meritorious. Then we invoke the power of merits. May this wholesomeness pave the way for them to protect, long protect the dispensation of the Buddha's asana, so that they also get to do wholesome thing. That's why they protect you, because you are part of the sasana. You are cultivator of the way, you are Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends who are friends of the Dhamma, cultivator of the way. There are some who already have the Dhamma. So this is the main difference between transference and sharing. But for me, I add in two. That's why I add in those who have affinity and condition to receive. Especially to those who have condition and affinity to receive. So that it will cover more broad-based. Not necessarily only the Pitarai. So no need to mention him. But if you know of somebody, specifically you want to share merit or transfer merit, then you can, like that Thursday night, the sister, there's one sister, the brother just, Doris, the brother just passed away. So I asked for the name is because Ronnie Chi, Chi Fu On. I still remember, we are the last two names are my brother's name. Ken Fu and Ken On. Then Ronnie was my third brother's name. So got affinity or so. Then we transfer and share merits with him. We direct channel that merits to him, to all those who can receive, and also to Ronnie Chi, Chi Fu On. So this is how, when you understand, you can evoke power of merits. Merit is like your spiritual wealth. How you want to use them is up to you. Okay. So that is your question. Okay, thank you. Sadhu. Oh yeah, now Jingyao. Very good. Push it out.
Hello, brother.
Yeah.
So I want to ask a question. When the monk chanting, and then we are behind, sitting behind, is it advisable for us to sit down there and do meditation?
Okay.
Because the morning chanting, so the monks were chanting the whole thing. You just sit down there, you know how to chant, just do the meditation. Is it a fine way, or we shouldn't?
Oh, okay. That is your question. Thank you. So what you all think? What is your understanding? Because if every time I just answer, you'll never develop the true understanding. From your knowledge or understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, what do you think you must do? What is the purpose of that chanting? Yeah? The monk normally chant for your blessing, isn't it? Or transfer merit and share merits. So it is a wholesomeness. Yeah? So what you can do is a lot. When you have the Dhamma, when you understand, first you can rejoice with the wholesomeness. But this is a synergy. You make offering to the monk, like the house Dana and Nancy and Brother Sia's house. I explained it before already. We talked about virtue that day, remember? Virtue is a source of true spiritual happiness. Virtue is a source of true spiritual wealth. And virtue is a source of true peacefulness of mind. So when we understand all this, yeah, then we will know what to do. That's why the monk will administer the precept to you. Then because you support them, they will administer the precept and teach you the Dhamma and explain to you that these precepts are very important. It's to allow you to avoid all evil. Yes, this is a source of true spiritual happiness. If you want to have good life, the happy life, you must keep your precept. The precept is a source of true spiritual happiness. Then precept is also the source of true spiritual wealth. You will receive spiritual wealth. So spiritual wealth are many, because the Buddha Dhamma is a spiritual wealth. The understanding of the Buddha Dhamma will lead to a lot of wholesomeness and well-being. Then virtue is also the source of true peacefulness of mind. That's how you can meditate with that type of mind. So that is the first thing. Then after that, they also lead you into the chanting. You pay respect to the Triple Gem. You chant your salutation, you take refuge. All these are meritorious and create affinity with Triple Gem. And develop a lot of wholesomeness. Then after that, they share merit, they transfer merit. These are all meritorious deeds. Then they evoke the power of merits for your blessing. That's why they will chant all those. Finally, they wish you with this type of blessing. Ayu Wana Sukang Palang. So they evoke power of merit so that you will have this four type of blessing. Ayu is long life. Wana is fair complexion. Sukang is happiness. Then Palang is strength, physical and mental strength or spiritual strength. So these are the things. So when you understand all this, you can either rejoice by rejoicing, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is how you develop the wholesomeness and the understanding. Then after that, you share this merit and transfer this merit. The other way is to chant together with them if you understand. Because when you understand, you chant with understanding the meaning. And that chanting will become very strong. That's why afterward we can also chant the auspicious blessing for us all before we disperse. It's on page 14. Then the other one is like they advise you, you should silence your mind and just meditate. That word is very tricky, you know, meditate. How many people know how to meditate? If you know how to silence your mind, it's good enough, understand? But if you can silence and just rejoice, that is the best. When you silence, it doesn't mean anything. You are trying to absorb the vibration, understand? Which can also help, but why do you want to do that? You should develop the understanding of it. You can silence your mind and rejoice. Rejoicing is more important, the way I understand it. So you just rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you can chant together so that you also can partake in the chanting, so that you can also invoke blessing, all those things. Because when you have spiritual understanding, you can actually do it like the monk is doing it to the others. Then at the same time you develop the understanding and rejoice. Rejoicing is more important. When you silence your mind to receive, of course, it is better than heedlessly thinking or sleepy and other things. So when you silent means you absorb the vibration. But if you say you meditate, I don't know how you understand meditation. You know, when you meditate, you silent everything and don't listen to all these things. You just aware. Understand? No? Just aware. Then see how it affects you through your sense door and all things. So silent and meditation are different when you don't, when you have the understanding. Because when you meditate, it means you want to develop understanding through the silent mind. That's what meditation is. But when you just silent to listen and absorb in the vibration, that is not really meditation. So the question is it right or wrong when they advise you the best way is to meditate? It's relative. You don't understand the word meditation, you can do things that may not be very beneficial. But the most important is to rejoice. Then you know how to chant together so that you can also help out in the chanting. Then you chant, your understanding is more meaningful. Okay? Okay, I think we better end, huh? Almost 3:20 already. Wai Hong, you don't have anything, huh? No, I thought you rushed there for something. Okay, then we will do the auspicious blessing on page 14. Those who know how to chant together. Those who don't have the book, get a copy. Okay, page 14 of the chanting book. I will explain the English translation also, so that it's easier. Auspicious blessing, or sumangala. Sabbe tiyo vivajantu, sabbarogo vinasatu, mate bhava tvantarayo, sukhi digayo bhava. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sada sokti pavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena sada sokti pavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba sanghanu bhavena sada soti pavantu te. Nakatayaka bhutanang papaka nivarana paritasanu bhavena antwa te sang upadave. Sabbe buddha balapata pace kanang cayam balang arahantanang cetajena rakham badami sabbaso. Wait, I will read the English translation first. The meaning of the chanting is very important. This is auspicious blessing. When we chant Sabbe Tiyo Vivajantu, the meaning is may all misfortune be averted. Then Sabbarogo Vinasatu, may all sickness be healed. Then Mate Bhava Tvantarayo, may no danger befall you. Sukhi Digayo Yukho Bhava, may you live long and happy. So this is very auspicious blessing. Then we invoke power of Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. That's why we chant Bhavatu Sabba Mangalang, means may there be blessing all around. Sabba is all. Then after that, Rakkantu Sabba Devata, Sabbe is all devata is deva. Huh? May all deities or devas protect you. Then sabba buddhanu bhavinaha. By the power of the Buddhas, sadda soti pavantute. May you be blessed with happiness and well-being. So this is very powerful. Then may there be blessing all around. May all devas protect you. By the power of the Dhamma, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. So we invoke power of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha too. So the third one is, may there be all the blessings. Or it should be, may there be blessing all around. May all the devas protect you. By the power of the Sangha, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. So this one is very important. You invoke the power of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha to protect you and the devas. Then by the power of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. Then after that, the ending is Nakatayaka Bhutanang Papaka Papagaha Nivarana Parita Sanubhavena Antoate Sang Upadawe. This is invoke power of parita or chanting. By this parita chanting or virtue, may no ill come through cosmic forces, demons, powerful non humans, or opposition from planetary antagonism. May our misfortunes cease to exist. So this one, if you do, is very auspicious blessing. So this are all the possibility of the nature's forces within nature. Because sometimes these cosmic forces or demons and powerful non-humans or the planetary antagonism, they can influence the human mind. That's why you realize during high tide and low tide, human beings' mind are being affected. And sometimes certain eclipses, they can also affect because the gravity change, the planetary pull change. So sometimes it will condition the human consciousness. Then all this, if you have this type of virtue, if you have invoked this type of protection, so when it happens, you will be protected. So this is the Buddha's way of actually chanting auspicious blessing. So because once a while we come to Kayamita's house to have this Dhamma sharing, so normally I will chant this auspicious blessing. Then at the wake of Sally or Kayamita, we also chant this for the blessing of all. Then the last one is invoke power of Buddhas. Sabba Buddha Balapada. All Buddhas are powerful, and whatever power there is of the silent Buddha, and through the power of the Arahants, may there be protection in all aspects. So this one is like a final overall aspiration for protection all around. Because when you come into this existential world, a lot of things can happen. So sometimes your karmic, if you have good karmic past, karmic nature, then you can avoid all this. But sometimes you may not have, because you have not developed the virtue. So you need this type of protection and blessing. That's why most living beings who got mixed karma, they need this type of protection. So it's good practice to chant them. That's why most of the time you attend Dana or what, especially you travel to Thailand, they will chant this, the closing sharing of merit and what they call chanting of blessing for you. They invoke the power of Triple Gem. Then they invoke the four type of blessing, Ayukwana, Sukang, Palang. They always end with that. So this is what we will do here too. Then we will now do the sharing of merits with the devas. Then we can after that chant the what they call sharing of merits with departed one and all those things. sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata chubumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu lokasasana ita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yala nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Joy in front of all this with my girls.
Oh, next one.
Can you get August or the next one?